Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Not much, man. Good to have you on the show, man. You know, I wasn't able to do the show for a while because, you know, the last couple of shows I did, I was dealing with a throat problem. So, and last week, I wasn't able to do that this week because I was out the whole week. So I apologize to everybody, who's listening to the show. I wasn't able to do it. So I've been gone for a minute, but, I'm back. So I want to thank you guys for your support, as always. And I want to thank you for always being on the show as well, Mac.
Thanks, sir. No problem.
Yeah, man. Thanks, man. But with that, we got to get the house in order and talk about the stuff that we missed. So I'll give, our feedback about the Fastlane pay-per-view event that went down recently. It was actually this Sunday. Talk about what's going on with SmackDown and the number one contendership, between Randy Orton and AJ Styles. That match went down. We'll get to that result. Talk a little bit about the state of the NFL and the Jets making some tough choices, cutting people, and the Giants. As a result, the Giants made a potential, a big acquisition. If Marshall is motivated, which he seems to be, but we'll get into that as well. And, we'll talk about everything that's going on in the world of sports. And with that, and also, give a little non-spoiler review of the, Get Out film. So we touch on a bunch of different sport, topics. Because you know what we do on this Sports Mac, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else.
Yep, so, definitely.
So without further ado, let's talk about this Get Out film, man. Man, what a film. I mean, I've heard, before I even saw it that, this movie, is a great film. I mean, rave reviews everywhere. Even you saw it the day before I did. You saw it on Saturday. I saw it on Sunday night. And my goodness, I was not ready for it, man. It was as great as a movie. I knew it was going to be great, but this is like an all-time great film right here. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, man, it was a mind-blowing film. I mean,
don't spoil.
Well, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But going into the film, I expected it to be a comedy because when I saw the trailer for it, it looked like some type of parody of a horror movie, mm-hmm. But after watching it, it turned out scarier than I thought. It was a great movie. A lot of twists and turns and unexpected things happened in the film. But the ending, man, it was just a surprise twist at the end.
Oh, yeah.
that'll leave you, you know, mind blown, like I said. But yeah, it's a great film, and this is Jordan Peele's debut film, and you know, it's brilliant, and he did a wonderful job directing it and coming up with this idea.
Man, that if we use a baseball analogy for his directing debut, man, that's like in your first major league at bat, you hit a grand slam, you hit a grand slam on the first pitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that movie was like flawless, man. It was funny, it was scary, and you know who, in my opinion, I mean, there was such, you know, it was just a awesome cast. You know, the main character is Chris. You know, he has a girlfriend Rose. You know, obviously, you know, he went to visit his girlfriend's family, and then that's when all the mayhem starts. You know, and yeah, it was just a amazing film. But you know who, yeah. I think is the MVP of the movie?
Who?
Rod. Chris' best friend. I mean, that guy, he was like,
oh, yeah,
funny. It was like he was saying what people were thinking, which in the theaters. And
he was hilarious.
And depending what movie theater you go to, like the one I went through, not only you were thinking it, but people were saying it, you know.
Yeah.
Because people were, you know, really interactive in the theater, you know.
Oh yeah, especially black people.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yep. You know, I gotta admit, I was a little interactive too. I got into it. You know, I'm usually a spectator watching the movies, you know, especially in the theaters. But there's a few incidents, you know, I said, leave, stuff like that, but for the most part, you know, I try to keep my composure. But, you know, it was an awesome film.
Oh, yeah. No question.
If I had to rank this movie from 0 to 10, I think 10 would be under. It's really that great of a film. I thought it would be, to be honest with you, before I saw the movie, I thought it would be a 8. But it really exceeded my expectations, you know. So definitely a must watch.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, yeah, that's our take, man. Go see it. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, it's a great film. I want to see it again.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's one of the rare movies that I want to see again.
Mm-hmm, yep.
But, shifting gears. Yeah, man, let's, dive into football. And, you know, the Jets, you know, they really clean house, you know. They got rid of veterans like Nick Folk and Nick Mangold, Darrell Revis, which was not a shocker because, you know, he was a shell of himself, you know,
yep,
this past year. And even Brandon Marshall, same thing too. But, you know, as a result of the Jets releasing him, the Giants, you know, signed them. They signed them, and, you know, the Giants signed him to a 2-year deal. And, you know, the Giants are hoping that Brandon Marshall could, you know, regain his form from, you know, last year with the Jets and, you know, even with the Bears in the past. So what's your thoughts on the acquisition?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this is a great move for the Giants. I almost can't believe the Giants were able to sign this guy and why Jets released him. I mean, yeah, he had a bad – he didn't have a Brandon Marshall type year last year. But you look at his career, I mean, he's only had three seasons where he hasn't had 1,000 yards, one being his rookie year Second being his last year with the Jets, and the third being his last year with the Bears. But other than that, this guy, you know, he's a 1,000-yard-plus receiving guy, and he'll get you double-digit touchdowns, you know. And pairing him with Odell Beckham, I think that's going to be a great duo. You know, it gives the Giants that big wide receiver that they need. You know, they haven't had a talented big wide receiver since Plaxico Burress. So I think Brandon Marshall, he's gonna give the Giants that tall wide receiver they've been looking for. And yeah, like I said, pairing him up with Odell Beckham, I mean, that's gonna be a great tandem. That's gonna give a lot of defensive corners a lot of trouble. And I'm excited, man. I can't wait for the season to start now because of the signing.
Yeah, I don't blame you. The Giants sent him two-year, $12 million contract, and he got a lot to prove. Not to mention he gave a Porsche because he lost a bet to Antonio Brown. You know, who'd have a better year. And, you know, as we all know, that was a, you know, Antonio Brown didn't have to worry about Brandon Marshall, winning that bet.
Yeah.
Based on the season he had with the Jets, you know, he tried to be a vocal leader and, you know, talk to the media, be a media darling. But, you know, it's hard for you. You can't be a clubhouse leader when you're having a horrible season, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of it wasn't his fault. You know, remember, the Jets, the quarterback position was horrible last year, you know.
Oh,
so that also played a big part.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely going to get to that, too. And not to mention that Eric Decker was hurt, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as you mentioned, let's dive into it. And the biggest problem the Jets have, or they've been having for a long time, was basically the quarterback situation. All the guys that they were trying to go after were, you know, basically swooped up, basically. And now the options look like, you know, the best option right now look like it's Cutler. You know, obviously Romo's an option, but most likely he's going to sign with the Texans. Let me see, I'm trying to think. You know, RG3 is a free agent. Kaepernick is a free agent. You know, there's a bunch of other guys, you know, who have talent, but they're right now on the downside of their careers. And, you know, that just leads to a question. Should the Jets sign a veteran guy like Cutler, or should they just tank this season and try to get a top draft pick for next year and draft the star quarterback out of college again?
Yeah, I mean, they might just have to sign, you know, one of these veteran quarterbacks. Like you said, Cutler, you know, I mean, he's still a serviceable quarterback when he's healthy. You know, and he has something to prove if he signs with the Jets, you know. Can he become that, because, I mean, when he's healthy, he's a good quarterback. He's not terrible,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
So I could see him having a good season with the Jets if he does sign with them. But, you know, he is getting up there in age, and he does at times make a lot of mistakes. But,
oh, yeah.
You know. I think he could be also a mentor for Geno Smith as well.
Well, that's if they resign him, because I think Geno Smith is a free agent. They still got Hackenberg and forgot who else. The other person escapes me for the moment. Darren, I forgot the guy's name. But in any case, you know, the Jets are in turmoil. I mean, do you think that they should go after Romo? I mean, Romo's off a down year, and he got, you know, he got usurped by Prescott, you know, with the Cowboys. Do you think they should take a chance on him, or
I think they should, but I don't think it's going to happen because right now it's sounding like the Cowboys are not going to – they're probably not going to release Romo. They're not going to let him go off. They're not going to let him go that easy. They're probably going to trade him to either the Broncos or the Texans is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a smart move.
Yeah.
You have an asset, you should – and you're not going to keep it. You might as well trade.
Yeah.
Trade, you know, get a pick, you know, help the team out. Unlike the Knicks did. The Knicks most likely aren't going to re-sign Rose. They're not going to re-sign Jennings. And then they just cut Jennings afterwards.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, I mean, Cowboys would be smart to hold on to him and you know, don't release him and trade him and get something from it. But, yeah, we'll definitely see, what the Jets are going to do. And of course, the Giants as well.
Yeah, it's going to be
shifting gears.
Big off season.
Absolutely. And then you got the Knicks who are basically in the off season, even though, you know, they have what? A month or two left to play, and Knicks got their butt kicked by the Bucks most recently. Seemed like lately the only team they could beat is the Magic right now.
Yeah.
But in any case, the Greek Freak, Adetempo, whatever you pronounce the guy's name, he beat the Knicks a few days ago. And as we mentioned a minute or two ago, they weren't able to trade anybody. Derrick Rose is still with the team for right now. There's, talks maybe they might sign them or hold on to him until draft night. And since they'll have a few days with him left, they could trade the rights to him, just a few days before he becomes officially a free agent in the draft night, and that could still be an asset because, Derrick Rose said that he's, his only concern is about winning. So,
yeah.
Clearly he's, the state of the Knicks, he ain't re-signed him. And same thing with Brandon Jennings, after the training deadline didn't happen. The Knicks released him. He ended up signing with, I think, the Wizards, and they signed what's his name, Randall. Who's been playing well since acquisition. As you know, in the trading deadline, the big deal with the Knicks surrounding Rose would have been trading him for Rubio, which, I mean, Rubio's a talented young guy with the Bucks from Spain, but, a great passer, but not a great three-point shooter. And he would help the Knicks, as a facilitator. But then again, you'd lose the explosiveness with a healthy Rose.
Yeah,
and another bad thing is that he would be making about $15 million each year for the next 2 years each. So that would definitely hamper the Knicks' free agency for the next couple of years. But then again, with the Charles Oakley saga and the Knicks, with the exception of 2013. Been in the playoffs, version of hell, they're not going to get any free agency, free agents. So we'll see what happens with the Knicks.
I mean, Knicks have a lot of work to do. And this season, this season was, we're optimistic with all these signings, Rose, Jennings, Noah. Mm-hmm. And, You know, Knicks pretty much do what they did in the past, play no defense, lose close games. You know, it's the same old story, and you know, and we're just keep rebuilding every year, and you know, it seems like instead of moving forward, we're going backwards. Doesn't make any sense.
You're absolutely right, man. I mean, the sad thing is that we're not rebuilding. We should have been rebuilding a long time ago because we're trying to win, and supposedly we're trying to win. On paper, we're trying to win, but we don't have any. It doesn't matter how many talented players we have on paper, they never do anything. And I'm pretty sure if you look back on every episode from now all the way back into 2009, with the exception of 2013. We're saying the same thing. You know, we're optimistic about the Knicks. You know, we think they have a good, for the most part, have a good roster or a gritty roster. Maybe they'll surprise. And, you know, at least they'll play defense and, you know, worst case scenario, get an 8th spot, go to the playoffs. But then once the season starts, same old Knicks. They don't play any defense. They don't share the ball, and they just find new ways to lose. I mean, that's the only thing that they're good at. I'm amazed at how good they are at losing, finding ways to lose. I mean, Naismith must be like rolling in his grave, seeing the innovative ways that the Knicks find a way to lose. I mean, they really mastered the losing at the last second shot. I mean, they should just go into the Hall of Fame just by that alone.
Yeah, man. It's the same old story with the Knicks. It never changes. You know, new faces, the same old story.
I mean, it's a miracle that just a few years ago that they finally lost over 60 games in a season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they just find new ways to lose.
Yeah, it's the same old story. You know, it never changes with the Knicks.
Yeah, we could spend the whole show talking about the Knicks, but ain't nothing changing. So, yeah, let's move on. The Mets, basically, Cespedes, you know, he wants to win the MVP, which... Do you know how many Mets in the history have won the MVP as a Met?
None.
Correct. There has never been a Met to win the MVP as a member of the New York Mets. So Cespedes is trying to be the first. And Alderson said, which is true. You know, the Yankees are the default team in New York. You know. With fan base wise, and you know, basically he's gonna try to do with the Mets what he did with the A's during his tenure, you know, in the late '80s, you know, turn the Bay Area from Giants fans to A's town, and that's what he's trying to do with the Mets. You know, he got a little taste of the World Series a few years ago. You know, in 2015, but in a losing effort to the Royals. Now he's going to try to bring that title where it belongs, back at Citi Field. So we'll see what happens, you know. You know, Wheeler pitched his first spring training game, I think earlier today. First time in 2 years. And Matt Harvey pitched as well. But the negative side of it is Tebow. So far, this experiment has been failing badly so far. You know, the guy hasn't played he hasn't played baseball professionally in a while, you know, until he switched to football, where, you know, most notably in college. You know, with the Gators, he brought them 2 national titles, and he had that good season with the Broncos that year, you know, a few years ago. But, you know, since then, you know, he's been trying to get back into football. And then he was, you know, a broadcaster with college football, with GMA. And now he's pursuing his original love, you know, baseball. So, you know, good luck with him. You know, hopefully he can turn his career around. And maybe one day he'll make an appearance at Citi Field. But right now that looks like a pipe dream because he still hasn't had a hit yet. I think he's like, 0 for 8 or so. But, yeah, in any case, he wasn't going to make the club anyway because, I mean, he only played, I think, single A. And he wasn't raking it over there either.
Right.
We'll see what happens with him. But, yeah, let's move to WWE because there's a lot of stuff that went down. Yeah, let's start with the WWE thing, with SmackDown. Basically, there's a new number one contender, and of course that number one contender is Randy Orton. And if you're listening to this program, you're like, yeah, we already knew Randy Orton was the number one contender. Wait, there's more. As you know, there was a controversy because Randy Orton, he gave up his opportunity to face Bray Wyatt. And as a result, for the past couple of weeks, he put the WWE SmackDown Live brand on, you know, in a tailspin because they had to look for a replacement. So for two straight weeks at least, they had Luke Harper and AJ Styles battling out for the number one contendership because there was a false finish. And then got eliminated in the over the top battle royale, which I clearly saw AJ Styles fell first, if you look carefully. And then they had a 1-on-1 matchup, which AJ Styles won fair and square. As a matter of fact, he beat him twice after Shane restarted the match. And then Randy Orton, had the epic, promo where he burned down Bray Wyatt's house and admits that he, you know, he's going to still be the number one contender. He was never fooled, and he was never his slave, you know. And to me, my point is that, yeah, it was a cool moment, but they really wasted, like, weeks of programming. And, you know, obviously this is fake, but if wrestling was a real sport, you would have to feel bad for AJ Styles because he Randy Orton gave up the opportunity.
Yeah.
And AJ Styles won the opportunity fair and square, even though he's a villain. And then Randy Orton gets the opportunity again. And now he doesn't have that title shot opportunity. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was messed up. I thought AJ deserved it, you know, but I see that, you know, I see WWE, they want to make they want to have Randy Orton, that Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt feud. I mean, it makes sense, you know, having them clash against each other, especially since, you know, they're supposed to be,
family.
What do you call it?
Faction.
What was that? Yeah, the same faction. So,
faction, fam.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I like it that way because I want to see Randy Orton, you know, become independent again. I'm trying to see him be a second fiddle to Bray Wyatt, you know?
Yeah, and I agree with you. The perfect rivalry and build to WrestleMania was to have those two guys battle each other, but Randy Orton turning him down at first, and then them searching for a number one contender for like the past 2 weeks, it was wasted. They literally wasted two 2 weeks of programming looking for a number one contender when they don't even have a number one contender. So what they should have did was, since he got screwed out of the opportunity, AJ Styles should get a future number one contendership. Since it's not his fault that he lost the title shot. Or they could have made it a triple threat.
That's true.
Know? So that was the only thing I had a problem with, the whole Randy Orton giving up his opportunity, then taking it back, and then, you know, because, you know, obviously this is fake, but, you know, when you're watching stuff, when you're watching, like, fictional stuff, whether it's wrestling or a TV show or a movie, you know, with superheroes or stuff like that, you suspend your belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're watching isn't real, but, you know, when you get, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're watching Star Wars, you know they're acting, but you want to believe that they have the Force. If you're watching a Superman movie, you want to believe that the actor is really Superman. He could fly.
Right, yeah.
So you suspend your belief. So to maintain some type of realism, even though, you know, obviously wrestling is scripted, it doesn't make any sense for AJ Styles to be screwed out of a title shot that he earned fair and square.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I mean, they probably should have did
a
triple threat. Not, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking it's WrestleMania,
result,
do you want to really see a triple threat at WrestleMania?
I think they've done it way too much. They could have just made AJ Styles fight him. You could have a future title shot opportunity. I mean, I'm sure he'll get one eventually anyway, somewhere down the line. But
yeah,
you know, it's just it's just illogical how they did that whole storyline. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But in any case, you know, he's gonna most likely fight Shane McMahon as a result, you know, which, I mean, I think it's a waste of a pay-per-view event. They could have did this at SmackDown. Nothing against Shane, you know, Shane, he was always like a, you know, like when he was a good guy, you know, underdog guy who's a high flyer. But when he's a villain, you know, he's like a pesky, you know, wussy type of heel that attack, you know, does sneak attacks on you. He paid his dues, you know, in the Attitude Era. But just like I felt about the Undertaker match, you know, yeah, he had that awesome spot when he jumped off the top of the Hell in the Cell, which I legitimately was afraid of him, that he was going to kill himself. You know, unlike the Attitude Era, you know, used to be like, yeah, jump, man. Oh, you know, you want to see that moment, but it's like, you know, you kind of, you know, you're growing up, you know, it's like, you're like, you know, accidents can happen, you know.
Yeah. And he's older.
Yeah. And plus he's older too. So,
yeah.
That's another thing. But, I mean, to me, they wasted a WrestleMania event. They could have had Sting fight Undertaker there. Well, they should have had Undertaker fight Sting instead of Triple H.
Yeah.
You know, that WrestleMania, what was that, WrestleMania 31? But, you know, that's another story for another time. But, yeah, it is what it is. And, oh, yeah, and the John Cena, Brie Bella, they're going to team up against Miz and Maryse. Man, I didn't care about this feud before, but the shoe promos that they're doing, like, they're really going in. I mean, now I have some interest in this match now.
Yeah, it's they've actually heated up this rivalry now between the two sides. I'm looking forward to it, you know. Looking forward to it. I mean, this whole Maryse against Brie, Cena, Miz. Yeah, you know, it's turned out to be an exciting rivalry.
Yeah, I really didn't care about this match before. But, and yeah, he even admitted that he'd rather fight Undertaker, which most likely will be his last match. And Undertaker, he surprised everybody on Raw and attacked he attacked Braun Strowman, and then he what was I gonna say? He chokeslammed Roman Reigns, which basically makes it official that he's gonna face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, which could be his, you know, last match ever.
Yeah, which I don't
sad.
Agree
I
with.
Mean, yeah, nobody wants to see. Nobody wants
Sting.
To see this match. I mean, yeah, WWE messed up, man. They could have had the Sting Undertaker match already, man. They had that chance, but they blew it. They really blew it, man. Now they have matches that nobody wants to see at the pay-per-view event going down. All right, let's recap the matches that went down at the pay-per-view event. Let's see. Rich Swann and Tazar defeated Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar. That was expected. Samoa Joe defeated Sami Zayn. I didn't see that match. I'm going to have to watch that because I missed the first half of the Fastlane pay-per-view event because I was watching the Get Out movie. So I missed that. I heard that was an awesome match. I got to check that out. Gallows and Anderson defeated Enzo Amore and Big Kaz.
Bunch of haters.
Sasha Banks. Yeah, a couple of haters. A couple of haters. What can I say? Sasha Banks defeated Nia Jax. That was expected. Cesaro defeated Jinder Mahal. Apparently that match was a quote-unquote last-second match that came out of nowhere, even though this whole thing was scripted.
Mm-hmm.
Big Show defeated Rusev. That was a surprise. There's rumors that Rusev has heat backstage, which resulted in that.
They're making him into a jobber now, Rusev.
Exactly. Because apparently he has heat. Neville defeated Gentleman Jack Gallagher. Oh, I say Gallagher because that's the way how you pronounce it, but apparently WWE wants to pronounce it Gallagher for whatever reason because the H is usually silent, but that it is what it is. Apples and oranges, I guess. Tomato, tomato. What else? Yeah, I heard that match was a good one, too. I didn't see that. And what's up with Gallagher, or Gallagher, as WWE calls him, with his headbutts? That's like a concussion waiting to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess a lot of times he doesn't make contact, you know, but
it's like
can
a lot
be
of,
dangerous.
Roman Reigns defeated Braun Strowman. No surprise there. Did I even watch that match? I don't think so. I think I just missed that match. I think I came in for the Raw Women's Championship match towards the end of it. And here's the shocker right there. That's the surprise of the night. Bayley defeated Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, Charlotte almost never loses at a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, there was outside interference by Dana Brooke and Sasha Banks, of course, but yeah, they separate. Kudos to WWE. They made her lose her undefeated streak and foiled her chances of being a 5-time champion and her pay-per-view streak ended just before WrestleMania. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
So this makes Bayley's win at the last pay-per-view event, it was on Raw, I should say. The win at Raw, it makes it legitimate because I thought for sure she was on borrowed time. So good thing, kudos for WWE, they let her hold on to the title. I still think they should let her win it at WrestleMania. It would have made it a more epic thing because she would have been the only four horsewoman to not win, you know, not to win the title. And it would have been huger had she won at WrestleMania. She would have been, you know, she's a fan favorite, you know, just similar to AJ Lee, you know, a few years ago. She grew up, you know, a wrestling fan. Yeah, photos of her, you know, being a super fan, and she got to live out her dream. So it would have been more epic had she won it at WrestleMania. But, you know, nevertheless, she has a chance to defend the title. So we'll see what happens against Sasha Banks and Charlotte. So
yeah,
that should be an interesting match. And then, of course, you got the Goldberg versus Kevin Owens match, which we all knew Goldberg was going to win. But, you know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of PO'd. I wanted Goldberg to win, but 22 seconds? Come on. This is proving that he can't do a long match. He can't even do a short match. Come on. The Brock Lesnar match, it had a shock value. You know, he defeated Brock Lesnar in less than 2 minutes, women in like 30 something seconds. I can't remember. It was like 89 seconds or so. That was a shocker. Him defeating Kevin Owens, I mean, they just botched it. Kevin Owens, you know, he just kept going in and out of the ring, wasting like 5-10 minutes, and the match didn't even count. And as soon as he comes inside the ring and it rings the bell, they play Jericho's music. We all knew Jericho was going to come out, but we thought Jericho was going to come out after the match was like 10 minutes long or so, 10, 20 minutes long. Jericho would have came at the end of the match, you know, interfered, distracted him, and then they would have happened. But they just sped up everything on a Super Saiyan level.
Mm-hmm.
The match, Jericho came as soon as the match started.
Yeah.
And then he got distracted, spear by Goldberg, and then the jackhammer, 1, 2, 3, 22 seconds. I mean, that really PO'd me, man. I mean, this was a title match, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Had they not, that's two matches. That's two super, super terrible, two super squash matches. I mean, we know Goldberg is known for squash matches. And, you know, had one of the two matches, his two matches not been a squash match, you know, like it would have, you know, went longer, you know, it would have been okay to have a shocking thing. But both of his matches combined, it's less than 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
I didn't get
that's
that.
A joke for real. You know what I'm
I
saying?
I didn't get that at
the
all.
Brock Lesnar, him defeating Brock Lesnar in 1 minute, 30-something seconds, I was cool with it because it was like it was a shocking moment. You know what I'm saying? I mean, would I have preferred him to have a classic match with Brock Lesnar? Of course, because that's what I thought. I thought he was going to have an epic match with Goldberg. I mean, not Goldberg, but Brock Lesnar that day. But the him beating him in such a quick fashion was a historic moment. Gave him a pass. This time, 22 minutes. And then they were they had Kevin Owens lose the title and lollygagging, getting out of the ring. He spent more time outside the ring than he did inside the ring the whole entire match.
Yeah, it was a waste of a match.
It was a waste of a match. That was a joke. That made The Rock versus Eric Rowan match Iron Man match, WrestleMania 12. You know what I'm saying? And that match... And this match, believe it or not, lasted longer than The Rock's 6-second match.
Yeah.
With Eric Rowan.
You're right.
My goodness, man. That's what WWE really dropped the ball on this one. And that's what they're booing Goldberg now, because they botched it.
Yeah, it was.
They botched it. They really
I guess
botched it. They should.
Maybe, you know, maybe Goldberg doesn't. Maybe he's not in good enough shape to wrestle a full match, you know.
Then he can't be the champion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I understand he's a part-time guy, you know. I understand that, you know. And he's going to lose the title to Brock Lesnar. Hopefully that match will be a 20-minute match. Because that's the WrestleMania. This is the title. My goodness.
I agree with you.
Shoot.
It's pointless. It doesn't make any sense.
22-second championship match. The, shoot. Now you see why the Bob Backlund Kevin Nash match from like back in the days wasn't televised. It was on live event when he beat him like 6 seconds for the title. At least that one had more of an element of surprise. Bob Backlund wasn't going in and out of the ring, to my knowledge. I mean, I wasn't there, but from the footage, what's his name? Kevin Nash kicked, Diesel at the time, kicked him and hit the power bomb, the Jackknife power bomb. This one is just a joke, man.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I mean, Kevin Owens, who's been like, he's a champion that you're supposed to take seriously, and then he gets defeated like that. I mean,
exactly.
It's just disappointing to watch.
It ruined the whole build up he had, turning serious. Had they did that, they might as well just let him be, do the goofy comedy stuff
that
he was doing with Jericho. But I'm interested to see what Kevin Owens is gonna do. He's gonna have the feud with Jericho, drinking in, man. That for the United States title. I think that's gonna be a great match, for sure. But probably most likely be the best match of the night.
Probably will be.
That's the number one matches. The number one match I really care about, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a match that I'm looking forward to the most out of all the other matches.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought an Undertaker WrestleMania match? I mean, people haven't not cared about an Undertaker WrestleMania match since probably before the Attitude
match.
Era. You know what I'm saying? Like, probably him against Hercules or something. Hercules Hernandez or something. My goodness. Before, WrestleMania 18 is like when people started caring. Worrying about the streak, I think that's when he defeated He defeated Ric Flair, and after he defeated Ric Flair, he like showed all 10 of his fingers to show that he's 10-0. Before that, people didn't pay attention to it.
Right.
That he was undefeated. That's when they started marketing his undefeated streak. But but in any case, congratulations to. DDP, he did go into the Hall of Fame as I, predicted on the last show a few weeks ago. He's going in with Kurt Angle, Rick Rude. He finally went in. They announced that this week. Rock and Roll Express is going in. Beth Phoenix is going in. Teddy Long is going in as well. So this is an awesome class right here.
You said Ravishing Recruit, right?
Yeah, Ravishing Recruit is the newest inductee. They just announced it this week on Raw.
Yep.
That he's going in. And DDP is going in as well. So this is an awesome class. I don't know if they're going to have one more. Maybe a celebrity. Maybe, who knows, maybe Cindy Lauper might go in. I can't think of another celebrity that could go in. I haven't heard any rumors of any celebrity.
Yeah, I think the class right now, it's a pretty good class, Ravishing Recruit finally go in and DDP. It's great to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is going to be an awesome class. I think that's about it. I think I covered everything. Anything you'd like to say?
Just have a good night and come back, check out the show next Saturday night.
That's right. You heard the guy. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Ramon. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace, everybody.